Radio Prague News.
The Czech Republic and Japan have signed a deal on working holiday visas. The first ever cases of African swine fever have been registered in the Czech Republic. And an Israeli player becomes the most expensive signing ever in the Czech Football League. The Czech Republic and Japan have signed a deal allowing for a working holiday visa program between the two states. Under the agreement, the two states' citizens aged 18 to 30 can work in the other country for 1 year without a permit. It was signed by Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and his Czech counterpart Bohuslav Sobotka on the first day of the latter's four-day visit to Japan on Tuesday. Mr. Sobotka's stay is said to also include a Czech-Japanese business forum and a visit to the Hiroshima Peace Memorial. He's the first Czech head of government to visit Japan since 2005. The Czech authorities have registered the first ever cases of African swine fever in the country. The disease, which does not affect humans, was found in two dead wild boars who may have crossed the border into the Zlín region. Special monitoring of the wild boar population has been introduced, officials said on Tuesday. If domesticated pigs catch the disease, they have to be put down and cordons placed around the farms in question. The Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen says his country is very keen to see symmetry in trade and financial relations between it and the Czech Republic. Mr. van der Bellen made the comment after talks in Prague with his Czech counterpart Miloš Zeman. He pointed out that the Czechs export to Austria more than they import from the country and that the situation was the other way around with regard to direct investment. Mr. van der Bellen also said the transport infrastructure between the two states had got better, but there was still room for more improvement. It will be possible from next year to buy Prague public transport tickets and passes online and via a mobile application, the Czech news agency reported. The move was approved by city councillors on Tuesday. It will also be possible to register a bank payment card and to use it to prove one has bought a ticket for public transport, a function today fulfilled by the Litačka electronic card. The system is set to go fully live from March 2018. The Czech Republic's fruit harvest this year is said to be 26% lower than the average for the last 5 years due to frosts in spring. The head of the country's Fruit Growers Association told the Czech news agency on Tuesday. Moravian crops were hardest hit by the adverse weather conditions and the yield of apricots and peaches, which are grown there, is likely to be a full 70% below the five-year average. Sparta Prague Football Club have signed the Israeli attacker Tal Ben Haim for around 75 million crowns, making him the most expensive signing ever in the Czech league. The 27-year-old was previously with Maccabi Tel Aviv. He scored 5 goals in 24 appearances for the Israeli national team. The weather, it should be quite sunny with a chance of storms in the Czech Republic on Wednesday. Temperatures are expected to reach up to 32 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio with Mirud Franjková. Coming up in today's program, Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen is in Prague for his first official visit to Czech Republic since taking office in January of this year. A new project launched by the Institute of Totalitarian Regimes commemorates victims of former Czechoslovakia's communist regime. And later on in the program, we talk to Jiří Bash about the project Czech on Board with Myanmar. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Austrian President Alexander van der Bellen is in Prague for his first official visit to the Czech Republic since taking office in January of this year. The former Green Party leader arrived by train, which was several minutes late, pulling into Prague's main railway station, inadvertently highlighting one of the key issues on the agenda of the upcoming talks, the need to improve road and rail links between the two neighbour states. Daniela Lazarová asked Jan Kovář from the Prague Institute of International Relations about the main sticking points in bilateral relations today.
Nuclear power is obviously a long-standing issue between the two countries, which fortunately for us is not that hot topic today. On the other hand, as you mentioned, infrastructure, this is a crucial issue for both countries, especially for the Czech Republic. We are for a long time, we're not unable to complete the highway connection to from Brno to Vienna or from České Budějovice to Linz. So this is an important issue, and it also relates to general bilateral economic cooperation between the countries because, you know, transportation infrastructure is one of the preconditions of successful economic cooperation.
We said those were the two sticking points in relations. What is the state of Czech-Austrian relations at present?
Well, it's a bit better than it used to be, let's say 10 or 15 years ago. So today I would see the relations as rather stable, despite the fact that there are still some differences between the two countries, especially when we speak about nuclear energy, but also other issues. So I would say that today the relations between the two countries are rather stable, and they are not really marked by any huge differences that would undermine mutual cooperation.
The two countries, as you said, enjoy traditionally good ties. Have relations cooled because President Miloš Zeman openly supported van der Bellen's rival in the election, saying that he simply did not like the Greens?
Well, he actually openly supported the other candidate, Norbert Hofer, for presidency. But I'm not really sure whether this has really cooled down the relations, because President van der Bellen is, let's say, very, well, intellectual person who can very easily overcome such attacks from Czech president. So I don't really think this is a huge impact. This has a huge impact on Czech-Austrian relations. Rather symbolic one, and also Austrian president knows that politics are done by the government here and not by the president, which makes it a bit easier because the government office has not in any way supported either of the candidates or attacked van der Bellen.
Jan Kovář from the Prague Institute of International Relations talking there to my colleague Daniela Lazarová. The country's Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes on Tuesday launched a new project to commemorate victims of former Czechoslovakia's communist regime. Called Last Address, the idea was inspired by similar initiatives in Russia. Within the project, plaques will be installed at victims' final addresses, recalling their lives and what they stood for which they died. Jan Wellinger has more.
Tuesday is the 67th anniversary of the execution of Milada Horáková, a member of parliament and a Democrat found guilty in a notorious Stalinist show trial in 1950, staged by Czechoslovakia's then communist regime. The death penalty was carried out in spite of last-minute pleas for clemency from the likes of Albert Einstein or the Pope. The day has seen a number of commemorative events honoring her memory, but also the memory of others who suffered and perished as enemies of the regime. The project Last Address focuses on those who never came back. Mikhaila Stoilova, the main organizer of the project at the Institute for the Study of Totalitarian Regimes, told Czech Radio more.
Jedná se o poslední adresu lidí, kteří byli zatčeni.
The project marks the last address of people who were arrested for political reasons and never returned. That means either people who were sentenced to death or whose deaths were hastened by the regime. It was inspired by an organization called Gulag.cz. After a pilot program, we decided to focus primarily on victims of the Czechoslovak regime as opposed to victims of Soviet repression in general.
Tedy se zaměřili na ty oběti toho českého systému.
One of four plaques to go up on Tuesday is at the Swedish Embassy in Prague honoring the memory of Veleslav Vál, a zoologist who was executed also in 1950. A total of four plaques around Prague have already been approved and go up on Tuesday, while a fifth is pending. Mikhaila Stoilova again.
Nás zajímal osud Veleslava Vála, to, že ve stejném domě žil Josef Růžička, který tedy...
We were interested in the fate of Veleslav Vál. As it happens, Josef Růžička, the father of his wife, Tatiana Růžičková Válová, who was also a political prisoner, also lived at the address. But that is a coincidence. We highlighted the fact in the materials, but the primary focus here is on the lives destroyed for political reasons. How the information is used or used comparatively is up to others to assess.
A jaký bude její výklad, to už záleží na každém z nás.
For more information and if you'd like to see the exact addresses of the plaques which went up on Tuesday, please visit poslednyadresa.cz.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. For several years now, a group of Czech enthusiasts have been involved in developing and supporting a skateboarding community in Burma. The country, now transforming from a former military dictatorship, has been going through dynamic changes, giving rise to various subcultures, including skateboarding. I spoke to Jiří Paš, one of the founders of the initiative Czech on Board with Myanmar, about the local skateboarding scene, but I first asked him how he got the idea to launch this project.
Well, in 2012 I was visiting Myanmar, or Burma as it is known in Czech. I had a job making a photojournalistic project for Amnesty International. The organization asked me for some fresh photos capturing the change, transformation and democratization of the country that opened itself after 50 years of very rough dictatorship. And possibly my biggest surprise were the subcultures in Myanmar, because I was able to meet punks, I was able to ride with skateboarders, I was meeting with graffiti makers, with the artist scene, with punk rock bands, metal fans. So after seeing these groups, after meeting them, I was really stunned, I was shocked. And I decided that I would like to support one of them, especially because they all were very young in terms of, let's say, the idealism, the energy. And I especially liked that they always had some social dimension, which means they are somehow helping their communities. So punks were trying to feed the homeless people on the streets, the kids that had no food, no parents. And skateboarders, for example, they were trying to include children with hearing disabilities. So that's what captured my mind, and I decided that I would love to try to help to develop this community in Myanmar.
So why did you choose a skateboarding community of all the communities that you've just mentioned?
Well, when I was younger, I was trying to skate a bit. I was not very good, but I always had skateboarding in my mind. And there was an easy way of supporting them, because we here somehow a developed country now, and we remember how it was when skateboarding was starting during the communism, and you know, how people were desperate for skateboarding equipment. So nowadays we have the equipment and we can buy new one all the time. So we just started asking people around us, together with my friend Marek, if they could give us some older equipment that is, you know, in their closets and that they don't use anymore. And then we found some volunteers who were able to take it with them to Myanmar. So it was somehow logistically easy to implement this kind of idea. And it is effective. In a way, we don't need any money or almost no money, and we're able to support them for a few years now.
Skateboarding isn't actually something that I would associate with this country, with Burma. How would you describe the skateboarding scene in the country at the time when you first came there?
Well, you are completely right. Possibly very few people in the world associate skateboarding with Myanmar, because, as I said, it was very isolated for 50 years. That's why people are usually surprised to find these communities in Rangoon or Yangon. The scene is just starting. It has been present there for a few years now, that's true. But there are very few places to skate on. So when I was there in 2012, They had few spots. One was under a bridge, one was near some swimming pool, and there was another one in a park, I suppose. But I visited the one under the bridge. It was just a hidden place without sun, which is important in Myanmar if you want to skate or do any sports. But it was still kind of locked in between two pretty big roads, and it was quite unpleasant. There was nothing there, just a little straight spot to skate on. And there was, I think at the time, there was around 300 people that wanted to skate, but they only had like 20 skates. So the attractiveness was already there, but people couldn't buy skates. They couldn't import them from countries like Thailand, for example. So we thought there was a lot of effort, a lot of energy within the community itself. It was not supported much from abroad. There were few volunteers that were, skating with the people, like Australians working in Yangon, but everything was very local. But there was a lot of energy, and that really caught our hearts.
As you said, the main aim of your initiative at the beginning was to provide equipment for the local skateboarding community. Mm-hmm. But you also said the conditions were far from ideal. Were you also involved in improving the conditions, in establishing places where they could actually skateboard?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest changes in the last few years. And that's really funny story. The military government in Myanmar moved the capital from Yangon to Naypyidaw, which is a very strange city, kind of reminding you of North Korea. And they were preparing for Asian sport games, which took place, I think, 2013, 14, something like that. And they also built a skate park there. But the skate park was around 600 kilometers from the nearest skateboarder, so nobody was using it, and it's just there, but nobody uses it. And so one of the biggest challenges was to build some kind of skate park in Yangon, which is the capital of skateboarding in Myanmar. So together with a global initiative called Make Life Skate Life, we joined them in an effort to build the first real skate park for young and kids in Rangoon. And my friend Marek went there recently to build it, and the finances were raised through crowdfunding, and it is now successfully serving the community.
How did the local people react to your activities? How did they welcome activities such as this one?
People in Myanmar are a very traditional community. They are Buddhists, and as we said already, they were isolated for a long time. So they see these new trends as potentially strange or even threatening their old ways of life. So it takes a lot of effort in communication and explaining why is it good. And as we have news from our friends in Myanmar now, they understand more and more that it's better to have their kids skateboarding with others outside than just playing games on their mobile phones, because that's a trend that's really global. So some parents are really glad now that their kids are outside sporting rather than just playing with phone or computer.
How many skateboards have you actually managed to provide to the community since you started the project?
It's a bit confusing for us now, because we were supposed to keep the records in a better way, but I think it would be around 200 kilograms of equipment that was kind of smuggled into Myanmar by volunteers. So it's a lot of boards, wheels, tracks, even t-shirts and shoes, because some of the people that would like to start skateboarding, they don't even have proper shoes. Some of the younger kids, they can't afford to buy. I mean, maybe it sounds a little bit strange, but they're very happy for any kind of older shoes and, just to start with.
How has the situation in Burma changed over the years since you started going there? Have you noticed any change?
Well, the situation is changing very rapidly and dramatically, which in a way is quite similar to the transformation in Czech Republic or Czechoslovakia, which is also why I really like Burma, because there is something in common. Of course, Burma is much more complicated and difficult. There is still some regional conflicts, which is something that didn't change as much as people were expecting. But the capitalism and kind of consumerism took over the country in a very fast way. So now, of course, the priority is in any country of the world is to have a good mobile phone, smartphone. It is to buy better cars, better TVs. People are nevertheless in the beginning of the transformation. So what I felt there was a lot of joy and happiness that the change is finally coming. And people love to talk about politics. They love to participate. They love to try new things. For example, one of the issues that I was trying to learn about was the censorship, because during the worst times, everything was censored. So now when I was speaking, for example, to one of the most famous punk rock bands in Myanmar, they told me the censorship is kind of very uncertain now. We still have to present our lyrics, but it's censored less and less, and we are always trying to push them a little bit forward. But we still don't know like what can get us to prison and what's safe. So there was a lot of uncertainty as well, because nobody really knew what the regime could do to them.
Finally, what are your plans into the future?
Well, we definitely would like to contribute more to the scene. There are some plans to build more skate parks, possibly near some schools, so the children have some nice parks to play and to sport in. And we will definitely continue in transporting more equipment to Myanmar. And we are communicating with our friends in Myanmar to find the most effective ways of helping them. Because, for example, one of the things that they needed to solve is they needed lights, right? So we sent them money that we were able to fundraise to buy some lights, because if they skate during the evenings, there is just not enough light from the street. We're trying to listen and cooperate. It's a partnership. We're not pushing anything on them.
Jiří Paš talking there about the project Czech on Board with Myanmar, supporting the skateboarding community in Burma. And that brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from me, Ruth Franková. Thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.